we'll get started. This is the first ever time that I have been a host of a Stunt Granny Audio, so it's going to be like 1 hour of sloppy shit.
So. Well, it's because I'm on, that's why.
Oh, yeah. No, joining us is our very, very, very special, our short podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say sport. Yeah.
What do you got going on today, Jordan?
Nah, absolutely nothing. I'm recovering my goddamn computer. Woohoo!
Awesome. Your computer
yes.
was out of commission for how long?
Almost a week.
Almost a week. What was
wrong? Yep.
Viruses?
Well, what I got is some sort of like, well, not necessarily a virus. Like, all my information was fine, but Windows had three different, like, even with all my antivirus and stuff, it had like 10 different kinds of malware that was slowing it down to the point where if I tried to open something, it would just stop. It froze seven times in 10 minutes. So,
oh, God.
Time to reset. So I had to order recovery disk because it's 4 years old. So. Yeah, fun. Boring, but fun.
Yeah, awesome. like I said to you, my dad's computer went down with something similar recently, so 'tis the season.
Yep, woo!
Yep.
Thanks, assholes, whoever did that.
Yeah, woo!
It was probably Jeff
my
Jarrett.
My dad's awesome at computer stores, by the way. He has no clue what he's talking about.
So the thing does the thing.
But, anywho, speaking of viruses, the main topic of discussion today is the human virus, Kurt Angle.
Oh, man.
No.
Wow, you go ahead and tell what actually happened in case somebody hasn't heard it.
People here is, you got some strong opinions, as do I, and we'll get to that, but here... the story I quoted in the Stunt Granny earlier today from 411mania.com, which is where I go for all my hard news. According to a criminal report filed in Pittsburgh today, Kurt Angle has been arrested and is currently in the Allegheny County Jail. He was in an altercation, or there was an altercation at the home of Kurt Angle involving him and Trenisha Biggers, a.k.a. Rocket Khan. Biggers went to police and filed a protection from abuse order against Angle, and police came and removed Angle from the home this morning. At around 8 a.m., Biggers called police again, stating that Angle was stalking her. She had gone to a Starbucks to use the internet. Is Angle that fucking cheap that he can't afford to have internet access at his home? Oh, what?
His dial-up too slow.
You better live out in the boonies somewhere where they don't get internet service. I want a fucking explanation on that. Anyway.
They don't have him in his trailer.
Yeah, right. Don't please.
It's not Wi-Fi friendly.
So anyway, poor Rocka has to travel somewhere to use the internet, even though every home in America has internet access. You know? Okay, she told police that Angle had her telephone and was circling the Starbucks parking lot. She claimed that Angle was deleting photos off the phone, which were described as pictures of abuse. Angle was questioned by police under suspicion of DUI. Well, if I'm reading this right, he was driving under the influence at 8 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
They searched the vehicle, found used syringes, and two vials of HGH. Angle claimed he had a prescription for the medication and can prove that. Angle is currently awaiting arraignment on the following charges: driving while operating privileges were suspended, prohibited acts, possession, and harassment. Now, Angle is scheduled to defend the TNA title tomorrow night at the Hard Justice pay-per-view in Orlando, Florida. Where do I even fucking start? Besides what I've already started with. Well, okay, your thoughts here.
Well, like I told you when we were chatting earlier, it's like somehow this whole thing didn't surprise me at all. I don't know if it's the Jarrett and his wife or his ex-wife who happened to be a stripper thing that just made it seem so cops or trashy or, you know. But for some reason, none of that surprised me. It's sad. I mean, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's like you said, he's drunk at 8 a.m. I mean, that's the least of the sad things. I mean, that's just what a pathetic human being.
That's the normal thing out of all this.
Oh,
another
God.
Saturday morning in old Deutschland, you know?
But, like, really, no, which comes to, this is kind of a depressing thought, but it proves that nobody learned anything from the Benoit situation at all. Nobody learned a thing. Nobody cared, you know? I'm not equating this with that, but, I mean, it's getting to the levels.
It's,
HGH and abuse and...
you know, it's probably worse.
Yeah, probably.
Angel's probably a bigger abuser of certain things than Benoit was.
Right, well, WWF... know. Yeah, WWE fired him because they thought he was going to drop dead in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did he tear his tricep or whatever during a match and just kept going because he was so gizmoed out that he didn't know,
yep.
You know, that he even torn it? I mean, that's...
Right.
They called him worse than Shawn Michaels in the 90s? That's pretty bad because we were
awful.
Talking about... Shawn looked awful for a couple years there.
Oh, I hated Shawn Michaels in the 90s because of that, you know?
Right.
Because from a business standpoint, how can you justify having somebody like that on your roster?
Right, and especially considering his whole thing was selling all the stuff to teenage girls, you know, the heart-shaped glasses, the mirrored vests, all that crap, and he's high as 10 different kites, and, you know.
Yeah, I know what he was doing with those mirrors.
Oh, God. Yep. Lost his smile at the bottom of a coke or a crack pipe.
Right.
Just unbelievable. I don't know. It's just so sad because, you know, as with Michaels, Angle is unbelievably talented. Just like, I was watching that first, you know, I just been watching some stuff from 2000, and that was. He hadn't even been in WWF for a year, and he looked better than 95% of the guys they had. He was main eventing within a year, and believably,
yep.
It's just...
As I posted on Stunt Granny, he's the second best worker of the 2000s, behind only the cleaned-up version of Shawn Michaels.
Right. Yeah, I can't even think of a... Other than Michaels, who, you know, always seems to... People forget all the dumb shit Michaels did. Because
right.
pay-per-views are what people remember.
Yeah.
And he always, no matter how high or hurt or whatever he was, he always stepped up at pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So, Angle always... I mean, it's... How many classic matches did Angle have from about 2000 to 2003 or 4?
Sure.
Just... With Benoit, with Benoit and Jericho. I mean, just one after another, you know. And
every match, he gave it his all. He, you know, 3 stars, 4 stars. So.
God, you know, I remember him doing the moonsault off the top of a cage against Benoit on Raw. You know, I mean, Hunter is never going to do anything well like that or that stupid, but, I mean.
Right.
It's just, it's so sad because you want him to succeed. Like, I don't want him to be like that, but it, again, it's like his life is a human episode of Cops nowadays.
It really
so.
Is. No, you want to root for him because he's an Olympic gold medalist.
Right.
You know, who became a pro wrestler. He chose, you know, the profession that we love, you know.
Right.
And,
whereas now, you know, he'd be an MMA guy. Now,
yeah.
I mean, if he had debuted now, he'd be, you know, he's the definition of what they look for UFC or whatever. So he chose it. He was a legitimate gold medal, you know, gave everything his all and never half-assed anything. Just, even when he was 50% of himself against some of those Samoa Joe matches, they were great.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's had a ton of good matches in TNA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is from the time period when I wasn't watching TNA.
Right.
You know, I've gone back and seen him.
Right, that's what I've done, too. Like, because if I hear a match is great, I'll hunt it down so I don't have to watch the pay-per-view in its entirety. But it's, you know, I don't know if I'm numb to the, I call it the black screen syndrome, you know, on Raw, where they have the circle and the name and the date, you know, born to death dates. I don't know if I've seen so many, I'm just kind of numb to everything, but this is really tragic. I mean, he's kind of lucky this is all that's happened to him right now.
Right.
You'd like to think it's going to get his life in order, but fuck, how many...
The wake-up call he needs.
I know. That's exactly, yeah, that's what I hope for, too. I don't hold my breath on that, but...
No, because this isn't the first time it's happened.
No.
All it would take for me is one time, you know?
Yeah.
So,
one of those four things he got arrested for would be a wake-up call for me.
Right. Gargling pills like Listerine in your driveway.
Oh, God.
Come on. You know?
I know. I know. It's just like I for, you know, there was a year I just expected him to be the next one to drop dead, you know, and
sure.
Amazingly he hasn't, and it's just I guess I'm just kind of frustrated and saddened by the whole thing.
Mhm.
And you know, go ahead. Oh yeah. Oh, very much. Till Beyond the Mat too, with Kurt Angle and his estranged kids. And
when I saw Kurt again, he was using crack.
while their mom was still stripping at the age of 50, so in Jeff's house.
I don't think I can handle Rocka being a stripper.
Oh God, no. But she's a little mannish for me, but...
She's better than, like, Shaniqua.
Well, yeah. God, Linda Miles. That was incredible. yeah, I don't know. It's just... And I also worry, as you know, we've been talking, Russo's kind of pointing things. He always starts strong, and I hope he continues strong, because I want TNA to succeed now. But I worry, Russo loves insider references and angles built on them, so I worry that this is going to turn into some big thing tomorrow night or Sunday night and just have it be some sort of angle, not Kurt Angle, but you know what I mean, some swerve, some something, some in-ring shoot
like,
where he calls Hogan bald, you know?
Yeah. The thing that comes to mind isn't even a Russo angle. It was from WCW right before Russo came in when they had Scott Hall play the drunk character.
Oh, God, yes. Last call, Scott Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he puked on Bischoff, which is one of my most cherished moments of Nitro.
Oh, man. Yep.
If you had me list, like, my favorite Nitro moments of all time, that would be number two. And Eddie Guerrero's faux shoot about how you would take the next plane to Stanford if Bischoff tried to stop him would be number one. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, talk about a guy who was also strung out. Look at Eddie then, too.
Yeah, Eddie then was, a little off his guard.
Yeah. So, oh, God. It's just... So, what do they do tomorrow?
The thing right there is that no wrestler's ever going to learn the lesson.
No, never. If nobody obviously learned anything from Benoit. Look at Chris Masters in 2 weeks. He was, like, pretty big, and then the next week he's huge again.
Right.
Guys are still taking unprotected chair shots to the head.
Yep.
You know, guys are still doing flying headbutts.
Mick Foley's still putting himself through tables.
Fucking
everything
God.
Is all the same.
Yep.
It's all stupid shit.
Yep, stupid shit. shit that ultimately doesn't earn you an extra penny. Is anyone, especially like if you do anything on Impact or Raw anymore, is anybody going to remember? If you know, nobody's going to care if you took a chair shot to the back or if you put your arm up in front of your head. But guys are, you know, well, it's like one time Samoa Joe did a flip and landed on his ass on the steps. It's like, why did you do that? Nobody's going to remember. It's TNA, you know. I just remember his stupidity. I wouldn't have remembered had he, you know. But
I used to remember everything. Every match, every angle.
And now it just comes at you a million miles an hour and never know, you know. I was at I think I was at a Best Buy and just looking at old pay-per-views that they had for sale. Four different things from 08 I picked up either had Triple H, well, from 07 and 08, had Triple H, a combination of Triple H versus Hunter, or versus Orton versus Cena. You know, one of those three. And four of the four I picked up had that. And I didn't even bother picking up others because I figured they'd have the same thing. Maybe throw a Batista in there and that's it.
When Batista was healthy enough to show up,
he would have torn a quad trying to pick up the DVD. So
that ain't no shit. Yeah,
he tore a pec. He tore a bicep running.
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 Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's Kevin Nash now without the charisma.
Right. Yeah. At least Nash can talk.
Yep. Batista just, I don't know, can stand there and be, well, there's another, not to insinuate anything, but, yeah, clean as a whistle.
No, it's perfectly natural when veins stick out like that, I think.
On a 40-year-old man. Oh, God. So.
Okay, well.
Yeah. So what do they, now, here we're a little kind of segue into the next topic. What do you think they do tomorrow night on the pay-per-view?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. So I think what they're doing here is false advertising angle until it's time for the match.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of excuse for why he's not there.
Well,
we were wondering if he would show up or not, but it looks like he's not going to be able to make it, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm really hoping that they give Matt Morgan the belt.
Yeah, it's something different. I'll give you that. I don't know if Matt Morgan's the right answer to that equation, but
Sting's definitely not the right answer.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Russo will have a tournament that takes place in a 37-minute span with 16 matches. We'll determine, and Russo's gonna win in a triple cage match.
Yeah, it'll be fucking Matt Morgan against AJ Styles in the finals, and then Russo will climb the cage, down on both of them, and get the win
with an Arquette run in. Don't forget that.
Yeah, Arquette will hit them with the guitar.
Oh my God, it's for the world champion! That's what I worry about. I mean, I'll try to give Russo the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know. I mean, I think they go with Matt Morgan. Who knows?
Yeah. Here's what I'm worried will happen.
Go for
Angle out of the picture, Jarrett.
Yeah.
That's
I wonder
I'm terrified of that happening.
If he isn't already on his way to Orlando. You know? In Kurt Angle's car.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because
yeah.
I think one of the big reasons why TNA is so good right now is because Jarrett isn't there to bog it down.
Oh, I agree. I really think Raw would be 100 times better without the specter of Triple H looming over everything.
Yeah.
So Jarrett's the same way. I mean, go ahead. No, go ahead.
You know, I want to talk about, like, what kind of things would improve WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Triple H didn't marry me. You know?
I know, and Mary,
like,
Stephanie,
had,
and we all have to pay.
If I had the power, I might just fire him. Because, honestly, you know.
Or at least at the bare minimum, keep him out of, you know, have him wrestle one pay-per-view every 2 or 3 months. Keep him out of the main event. I'm so sick and tired of Hunter burying everybody coming down the pike. So,
I mean, it might be good putting over new guys.
Right.
Like, I'd love to job him to John Morrison if I had the chance.
Oh, no kidding. God, I would love, even like, you know, because I think they have plans to push Ted DiBiase because of the Marine 2 coming out. That they should, you know, he should, DiBiase should pin him and not have Hunter cut a promo as he's laying down, you know.
Sure.
Just something, yeah. Morrison, I would love Tyson Kidd to pin him right in the middle of the fucking ring.
God.
So, it just isn't going to happen. That's the problem.
Right.
And Jarrett, here's what I worry about with the, going back to the other thing. With Russo, I worry that Jarrett isn't going to come in and win the belt somehow tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then on Impact have that work shoot promo thing where he talks about, you know, all the shit that happened, how I got sent home. Because Russo loves the getting sent home angle, too.
The bullshit of the politics.
Yes.
That curtain.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I worry about, is that somehow Jarrett wins or screws somebody over and then cuts that promo either at the pay-per-view where they can't cut him off, you know, or on Impact, which, you know, it's allegedly taped, but I've seen so many fuck-ups in that show, I wonder, like, if they even care.
The production is so bad.
I know.
You have to wonder.
And it's like, he botched like 3 lines in that promo. You know it's taped, right? You can do it again.
Seriously. Or you can just chop up the party fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. Nah. Or botched spots in matches. Like, so many that the match just gets all completely out of whack. They just leave them in. Or continuity errors, because they film 4 weeks at a time and then chop it up and, you know, film it out of sequence and then try to piece it back together.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just...
Very quick. I remember when TNA first started, Wade interviewed Jerry Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent way too long having a conversation where Wade was saying something about how, well, if you're taping in advance, I imagine you're just going to tape in order. And Jarrett was saying something like, well, we can just tape whatever whenever we want to, and then air it whenever we want to. Like, why would you do that?
I know. Wouldn't it make more sense to tape, like, the old Raws or whatever were taped in order in a row? We're going to film 3 Kurt Angle matches in a row, but air them in 4 different weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, God, I don't understand that thinking at all,
because
then it just seems like it would make 100 times more work for everybody.
Yep.
And I don't know, it's just like logically you'd think it would make sense, like even like Foley talked about the old WCW, you know, before they even won the belts, they had lost the belts because they taped so many times in advance, but they had, you know, the booking was in order, so it aired 8 weeks later, but
one of Jim Cornette's shoot tapes near the very end of his stint in WCW, he was managing Bobby, you know,
mm-hmm.
And they had 2 nights of taping for their TVs. One night, Bobby works 0 matches. The next night, Bobby works 4 or 5 matches. And Cornette's like, holy, what the fuck? Didn't you tape 2 of the matches yesterday and 2 of the matches today? Because it's all on tape anyway?
Yeah, no shit. Oh, my God. It also just proof nobody learns anything in wrestling at all.
No.
At all. I mean, WWE thinks they're learning stuff from TNA by the all, you know, gimmick pay-per-views we've got coming up. Breaking Point or whatever it's called, because they've been so successful for TNA.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, and it's not the gimmick's fault that Cyber Sunday Taboo Tuesday has failed 5 years in a row. It's the fans' fault.
Right.
They learn nothing.
So we're going to punish the fans by doing it again in a different way. Yeah.
Like Triple H and Orton, like the buy rate for WrestleMania was really low for a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Did it stop them? No. No. Just keep going.
Yeah, they lost so many viewers from the previous year.
I just remember, like, this is the first year I did not order it in God knows how long voluntarily. There are a couple I missed from 93 just because I was either gone or doing something else or poor. This year was the first time I could have ordered it and just didn't. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
I think a lot of fans are just tired of Triple H in the main event.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I'm really tired of the Triple H Cena Orton combo in every facet. I've been loving like what little I can see of SmackDown because it's great to see Hardy, who's of course leaving, but like and Punk, it just feels completely different.
Yeah.
It looks different. It feels different. These aren't two, you know, this isn't a chin lock, headlock, knee lift, 35-minute boring match forever where
right. The
baby face has the sledgehammer.
Seriously. Any fucking sense?
No. Oh my God, where the baby face is like, even in handicap matches, it's 2-on-1, you know, it's him versus Legacy, and never once does anybody believe that he's going to lose to Legacy.
Right.
He's the
never
least pathetic baby face ever.
Never put in any peril whatsoever.
No, won't let him. Won't let himself be in peril. It's ridiculous, because he used to be entertaining.
That's a classic WWE booking thing dating back to at least the 80s. In tag team matches, the heel is the one in peril, and then the heel is the one that loses. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Like almost forever. So, but.
God. I know. I think that's kind of where I am. I think that's why I get excited to watch. Like, I was really interested for a few weeks, not so much anymore, on the Florida Championship Wrestling guys coming up.
Yeah.
Because I just want new blood. I am so tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's been, no, I mean, I like Michaels and Taker, but it's been, you know, them not being on at least has given other guys a chance to job to Triple H or to lose meaningless matches, to have Evan Bourne lose in 3 minutes to Jack Swagger.
Oh, God. Don't get me started.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole different rant for all of us. But
here's one thing. I finally put my finger on it. Because I think I had mentioned to you earlier that Evan Bourne really reminds me of Ricky Morton.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you mentioned that, and that's perfect.
Yeah, well, I got his tag team partner.
Huh.
DJ Gabriel.
Oh, you're right.
Solid. Doesn't stand out.
Nope.
No good worker. Perfect second hand in the tag team.
Agreed. No, I agree. Not going to be a star, not going to, you know, have the greatest matches, but going to be solid. And no, that's perfect. I agree with that perfectly. Now,
no,
if we could get somebody to hit him in the head with a hammer and cross one of his eyes, then we're good. Lazy one of his eyes.
No one talks about Robert Gibson being great, but everybody talks about the Rock and Roll Express being great.
Yep, agreed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, nobody ever talked about the Midnight Express individually, really. I mean,
right.
Eaton maybe, but it was the song, you know, the whole better than each individual part.
Yep.
And that's what a good team is, you know?
And I think by putting Bourne in a tag team, you can protect him for a few years.
Right, no.
He doesn't have to do jobs to
right. People
like Jack Swagger and Triple H, you know?
Yeah, exactly, or Mark Henry or whomever, you know?
I mean,
Shawn
if
Michaels,
you have to have his team job, you can have DJ Gabriel lose.
Marty Jannetty did a lot more jobs than Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
Jim Neidhart got pinned more than Bret Hart.
Yep.
It's just, you can, you know, and those guys, I mean, it's a different era, so it's apples and oranges, but you, okay, so you don't have, you know, the Hart Foundation, the Hart dynasty now, wrestle for 4 years. You have them do it for a year or so, and then you break them off. I mean, I don't know what to expect of David Hart Smith. You know, he's got the size, but Tyson Kidd's, like I told you, I think he has a chance to be a Bret Hart.
He's going to be a future star. He really is.
Yeah. Yep.
Anything with Clint Bourne.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Well, the thing about them jab... Okay, so he loses to Jack Swagger right away. You know, well, he pins him that first week, and then the second week he loses in 3 minutes, gets, like, no offense in, done. So they could... The one guy the fans actually cared about was Evan Bourne, because he was different. He was doing, you know, high-flying, just all sorts of different moves, and nobody gives two damns about Jack Swagger. I don't care because he was on ECW. He's 6'3" and blonde. How many of those guys have we seen in the last 5 years?
He's just like the old interchangeable heads from WCW. The Chuck Palumbo, Sean O'Hare.
The Natural Born Thrillers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where every one of them looked alike, you know?
Right, and they never stood out. I always got Jindrak, Palumbo, and O'Hare confused for a while, because they were exactly the same guy, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I put Jack.
What I was just hearing about was O'Hare, because of his cool vignettes that WWF did.
Oh, man, I loved those.
That they didn't go anywhere with.
No, they put him immediately with Piper against Mr. America, and that pretty much ended him. Why do I remember that? I can remember that, but I can't even remember what happened 2 weeks ago on Raw for the most part.
Yeah. Everything has progressively gotten more...
I know. Well, the funny thing is if you watch old Raws, like during the Monday night, you think they're still stuck in like a Monday night rut. But in fact, the matches are shorter now than the old Raws from 98 or 99. They're actually shorter and more meaningless. Like, I was watching, we'll talk about this on our SummerSlam audio, but I'll kind of bring it up here. I was watching SummerSlam 2000. Every single match had a purpose. There was a vignette leading to every match. There was a feud. They had time to do all of that. It's such a foreign concept now that it kind of caught me off guard, you know?
Now, Cornette has said, and he's mostly right, that... When you have Vince Russo booking, you hear ding, 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 followed 60 seconds later by ding, ding, ding. So to book a wrestling match. But, but his matches had a purpose because he was trying to get over characters.
Right. I mean, are you watching, like, what was that? I can't remember. I was watching either, I think it was just an old No Mercy or something from 99.
Sure.
And D'Lo was more over there. D'Lo in the opening match than Cena is now.
Yep.
Too cool in 2000. Way bigger pop than anything I've heard in the last three or four months. And that, you know, they're too cool. Rikishi was over more than I can even, like, it's twice as much as Cena is now. Rikishi.
What was that, like the fourth or fifth best team at the time?
Yeah, they weren't anywhere near the belts. They weren't, you know, because it was Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, and the Hardys. And Too Cool was nowhere near them, but they could still be popular and still not have to do jobs every 10 seconds. And, you know, nobody really cared if they won or lost because they had made them seem like big enough dork/stars that, you know. But now nobody's over, so.
Nobody.
Nobody. Not a single person.
Not over.
No. Punk is starting to a little bit, but people don't watch SmackDown. Why?
Right.
There's another rant. Why when WWE moved networks, they didn't move it back to Thursday is beyond me. They moved SmackDown back to Thursday.
USA Network.
Say that again?
They should just have everything be on USA.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think having it on four different shows on four different networks is a little much.
Ridiculous.
Yes. You know, Georgia and Georgia Championship Wrestling and, you know, World Championship Wrestling and NWA, it was all on TBS.
Yep.
It was easy to follow. You knew your network. Even, like, when Nitro was on, it moved to TNT, but it's still, like, there's only two.
That's just two. That's easy. One show is on that one, one show's on the other. Got it. You know?
Right. Like, it was easy to follow. Like, yeah, even, like, watching the old Heat, it was on USA. So it was easy. Sunday night, Monday night. And then SmackDown, even then, okay, fine. It's on, you know, UPN at the time, and that's it. I mean, it's on UPN, and it's on USA or TNN or wherever they were.
Right.
So, but now you have a show on Monday on USA, a show on Tuesday on Sci-Fi, S-Y-F-Y. Then you have no show Wednesday for whatever reason. Thursday, you have Superstars, which I don't know of anybody that watches that.
I think Eric does.
I used to, and then I just realized I was watching, like, Velocity again, and
Hey.
But it's not even Velocity where you'd, like, see, like, Tyson Kidd in a squash match or, you know, it's like Chavo versus Hornswoggle 53, the war to settle the score, you know? I was going to say a Texas death match, but like an Irish little person on a pole death match, two of three falls, with Chavo's head tied behind his back. So, yeah, I don't know. I think they need to narrow their focus, cut about four or five pay-per-views.
That's another part of the column that I'm working on is simplifying everything.
Yep.
You know, like a head coach would come in at mid-season, he'd simplify the playbook, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, it's like I was reading an interview with Jim Tracy, the now manager of the Colorado Rockies. The team wasn't – they weren't focused. The last coach had tried to get – Clint Hurdle had tried to get them to do 50 things – you know, each one do a different thing. He basically cut it in half, made it as simple as possible. Go back to your roots, go back to your fundamentals, and then they're in the wild card lead right now. They were 15 games under 500. Like
no team hotter than the Rockies.
Exactly, and they're about as solid could be in every level, and they're dangerous. They're good. I mean, because he simplified it. He didn't quit switching the line, you know, changing the lineup every day. He just went to the basics, and I think that's what WWE needs to do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have it be, you know, Superstars of Wrestling where it's, you know, or even Raw from 94 where the main event is Bam Bam Bigelow and Bastion Booger versus the Smoking Guns. But you can, you know, tone it down. You can have guys.
You can't go that far back.
No.
I thought about this a lot. You can't go that far back. You can't have a show anymore with all squash matches.
No, but you can have some squash matches.
But there's a happy medium, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Did it matter? Okay, so you want to get Jack Swagger over. Did he have to beat Evan Bourne?
No.
Couldn't you have Brian, the guy we should have talked about, left Eugene?
Sure.
You know, did it? He was going nowhere. The coldest re-debut in the history of mankind, but yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But, like, really, do you need to get over, you know, you're not, let's see,
but
I'm trying to think of the best.
Like, in 1990, WWF had, like, 5 to 10 jobber guys who were well-known on hand.
Right.
They had, like, Black Bart and Buddy Rose and guys like that.
Even in the early 90s, I remember all those jobbers. PJ Walker, Barry Horowitz, you know, guys that could have a simple match.
There's a few guys right now on the roster that they could transition into roles like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Hawkins.
Yep.
Jesse.
Yep.
Paul Burchill.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's see. Hell, Chavo, really?
Yeah, no, I agree. Chavo is the equivalent of Virgil now. And you know what I mean? Like, he's on that level. Virgil just gradually transitioned to a jobber. He was another jobber by the time I started watching.
Sure.
You know, a credible who had a pay-per-view match or three, you know. maybe could possibly win, and then boom. You know, and if he gets over enough, like the fans started cheering a little bit for the Lightning Kid, and, you know, look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they did for Barry Horowitz, too, and look what happened there. But, but yeah, I mean, I'm just tired of guys on the same level, one destroying the other, and then the next week having it reversed or just, you know, all you're doing is sacrificing one, like, there are two new guys within the last year. You're having one beat the other. What does that do for you? Nothing.
Nothing.
Have a guy who's going nowhere, or on, like, Chavo. Couldn't Jack Swagger have beat Chavo?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, really.
Chavo
and,
did a good match out of him.
Yep. Make him look like $1 million. That's, like... You watch some of those old World Championship Wrestling shows from the 80s or whatever. The jobbers then were better than 90% of the roster now.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, because they could work. They knew how to get guys over. They knew how to make guys look like $1 million. Every finisher was sold perfectly.
Their home territory every day, you know?
Yep.
They were all well-seasoned, well-trained, solid workers.
Right. And, you know, Chavo was that.
Yep.
You know, he still gets a steady paycheck, and he's never drawn a dime in his life, so why, you know, why worry about him?
Everybody knows who Chavo is.
Right. Like I said, it's essentially Virgil. Like, it's that exact same level, and, you know. You sacrifice, you could even have it at a pay-per-view where you're like, well, you know, like Virgil and Yokozuna or Virgil and Nails. That's all he did in 92 was help get guys over because he was been on pay-per-view, so it's credible that he would be on a pay-per-view. But the whole point is just selling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even they had Marty Jannetty face Ludwig Borga to make him look like $1 million in 93. Right. So...
But you could do the 360 bump off the clothesline and all kinds of
shit. Yep.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It's just frustrating because Evan Bourne really has a chance because he's not, you know, but the problem is he's short, which is so ridiculous in so many ways. But
I think the recent success of Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy opens a door for him.
No, I agree. And even now Punk. You know, a guy who's like a lifelong indie guy and, it's not big, not, you know, super roided up and not, you know, but look at like Austin wasn't any of those things. He just happened to be a little taller, but he was, you know, it's not like he ever had the best physique in the world. Shawn Michaels is 5'10", if anything. And, you know, those guys did pretty good money. Dusty Rhodes would never get two looks nowadays.
No.
I don't even think Ric Flair would get a second chance. It took him 4 years to really start getting anywhere.
Sure.
And now, like, Eugene, I don't even know why they brought him back. Like, as Eugene. That Nick Dinsmore could have even been a good jobber. Because he would have made guys
Dinsmore,
look like a million.
That's the perfect guy to bring in.
Yeah, exactly. Because that guy, I watched him in OVW for years, and I was like, why aren't they calling him up? Why aren't they calling him up? This guy's great. He had great matches with Benoit, with everybody.
Yep.
You know, and...
He was basically
just,
the OVW version of Benoit.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they saddled him with Eugene, and even then, he got over in spite of that until Triple H killed him dead. That was it, SummerSlam 04, I think?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but he would be perfect. Nick Dinsmore. You don't even have to reintroduce him. You can just have him be Nick Dinsmore. Shave his head, make him look different.
Yep.
But he could work with guys and, you know, get him over like $1 million and, yep.
His old partner, Rob Conway, is another one.
I know. I agree. Those guys, those solid OVW-trained guys.
Yep. I would bring them all back. I'd bring back the Bashams, Conway, whoever you
Sylvain Grenier, Rene Dupree.
I would bring back Dupree because of how young he is.
Well, I know. He's still only, what, 24, 25?
He's only 24, 25, and he has that certain charisma.
Uh-huh. They just called him up too soon.
He could be a star if they do it right.
Right.
I've always liked Dupree.
I just think they called him up too soon. I think, you know, even Cornette said he wasn't ready.
No.
You know.
He was only what, like 19?
19? Yeah.
And they pulled him up?
Yep. So.
Who is emotionally ready at 19?
Oh, God, for life on the road? Most. Yeah. God. Just, you know, and then what they did is they panicked in 03, 04 and started gutting OVW to call everybody up, and then they didn't follow up with that, and now they're paying for it. That's what's happening now, is all the stuff that happened 5 years ago.
They could have been solid mid-card, upper mid-card guys by now.
Yep. Oh, I agree. There's really no reason Conway and Dinsmore couldn't be on pay-per-views right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, up towards the top.
In, like, a sort of MVP-ish area.
Yep. No. Well, it's so funny because Cena was ridiculously close to being cut, but Heyman loved him, and Heyman had a little pull at the time. But they almost cut their biggest, you know, moneymaker of the last 5 years because they didn't see anything in him after 6 months.
Right.
God.
Well, they weren't giving him anything.
Well, that's exactly it. It's like they don't understand why guys aren't getting over right now. Like, no one's over because they do stuff like have you lose in 3 minutes or have you win by fluke and then have you lose the next week in 3 minutes and then have you win again and every, you know, parody booking, you know. A guy like Morrison starts getting over, have him lose to Big Show in a minute and a half. Why?
I don't know what
serve?
Style of booking I hate more. The heel and peril booking or the even Steven booking?
Oh, man. They're both ridiculous.
Yeah.
The even Steven, like, how do you give a damn about anybody? There's never a legit number one contender. You used to see guy coming, like, by now we'd know what WrestleMania was going to be in the old days because they'd already start pushing a guy towards that point, and you could see it. I don't even know what they're going to do after SummerSlam. Like, there's no clue. They don't have a clue either. It'll change 82 times by then, too. But
look, they might not have, like, mapped it out word for word, but they knew, you know, it was going to be Hogan Savage.
Yep.
They knew it was going to be Hogan Warrior. They were building it up for months.
Months. Yep. Even Hogan Slaughter, the reason they brought Slaughter back was to have Hogan beat him, and that was 8 months in advance.
Yep.
And, you know, the whole point was Hogan
really
Flair.
They started the Slaughter push at SummerSlam.
Right. Okay, so it would have been 7 months still.
Yeah, 7 months to build.
Yep. Unbelievable. And, you know, I mean, you don't even, well, even look at Sting. Look at the Sting thing. They knew that for 15 months in WCW.
Yep.
Of course, it ultimately led to nothing, but, I mean, you can have that and make the, you know, there should be a dream match every year. It used to be, like, speculation. Who's going to be at WrestleMania? I remember even just 6 years ago, Angle Lesnar, just getting so excited at the idea of Angle Lesnar.
Yes.
Now I can't think of a single match that I give a damn about at all anymore.
Because it's either been done or it's not interesting.
Right. That's exactly it. Who is Shawn Michaels going to have a great match? Which veteran is he going to have a great match with again, which ultimately does nothing because Shawn and Undertaker were as high as they're ever going to go anyway. Like, it's a great match. It's an absolute classic. But what did it lead to? Nothing. What did it mean ultimately? Nothing. It didn't get somebody over, you know. Austin lost to Hart, and it got him over 10 times more than, you know, any match in the last five. You know? That was perfectly booked.
Yeah.
They just don't understand the difference between getting heat and actually drawing money with that heat, or getting booze and drawing money with the heat. You know, like, how is legacy pinning Mark Henry and Hornswoggle mean anything towards legacy and DX?
It doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. Seriously. You pinning a midget does not help you beat Triple H, or, you know, make anybody care that you're facing a reborn Triple H.
Right.
Or DX, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. No, they just don't get it.
No. And
they
it's
need
stuff
a new booker.
Yes, no, I agree. This whole writing committee thing, and I don't know if Vince has lost touch or if the whole thing, you know, because this was stuff Vince would never do. That's what made him survive more than WCW. Like the Mike Tyson thing. The Mike Tyson coming in wasn't just a celebrity coming in. That was to help draw interest in WrestleMania and get and help Austin seem like a huge badass.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the most important, you know, or the biggest money angle of all time, because it basically turned WWE or WWF at the time, like, got momentum on their side.
Yeah.
And so, and everything made sense. Every book, you know, even the Russo stuff, when it was seemed kind of stupid, always seemed to be going somewhere.
Exactly. Things didn't start going to hell until Stephanie took over as the head of the writing team.
Right.
Then there was like a committee of Hollywood writers and no one with any wrestling knowledge, and it all started to go to hell.
Right. Well, you remember how great SmackDown was in 02, 03, you know, the Lesnar era. That was great because, you know, was it Heyman doing the whole thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he knew what he was doing.
One or two guys under him, but he was the head writer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even now, like with Michael Hayes doing it, it's guys who know wrestling, who know old school, who know how to get people interested in things.
Yes.
Not a committee. I mean, if SmackDown were Raw, like if the show that's airing on SmackDown right now or is airing on Monday, I'd be excited for Mondays every week.
Yep.
Because SmackDown's a great show right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It's much slower paced. I mean, there's still stupid stuff because it's WWE. But,
of course.
But it's still, like, you have new guys. I mean, God, how many years is... Okay, Triple H, other than the very brief period he was on SmackDown after the draft, which I completely forgot about until not too long ago.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
He's been on Raw the whole time.
Yep.
Since they split. 7 years?
Yep.
God, how much changed between 95 and 2002? A lot. But nothing's changed basically from 2006 to 2009. Nothing.
Right.
You know, Cena, Triple H at one of those pay-per-views. Wasn't it the one where, you know, CM Punk was the gangster? Was it 22?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. 20.
See? That was, what, almost 4 years ago. Same thing.
Oh, God.
I know, it's depressing. And the last, the last WWE show I was at was Unforgiven 2004. And I'm going to the Raw here pretty soon in September in Chicago. But the last, that was the last WWE thing I went to. The main event of that was Orton and Triple H.
Gotcha. And that was how long ago?
Mm-hmm. September of 04. So it'll be 5 years, basically.
Yep.
Yep. Right.
So who would you tap to be the head writer of Raw?
Oh, God.
They got a good thing going with Michael Hayes. He seems
right.
To be like
I think you just leave him alone.
Who understands how to appeal to the fans, but can also, like, suck Vince's ass when he has to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Raw needs a Michael Hayes.
Right. That's a problem. Hmm. Oh,
my
man, I have...
is Jerry Lawler, and I don't know how good he'd be at it.
Right. Is he going to win the world title 27 times in 3 months? like the old USWA. Have you ever looked at that title history?
Yes, I have.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, but I think he would be a good choice. You'd need somebody old school, like Hayes, you know, slow and steady. Jerry Lawler is a perfect choice.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who knows what it takes to draw money, because Michael Hayes, you know, Freebirds and Von Erichs, geez.
Yeah.
And Lawler, of course, so... Yeah, because I couldn't think of anybody that would be that willing to, you know, because the Cornettes and the Heymans aren't gonna go back or kiss Vince's ass. So
Cornette would be a good choice if you bring OVW back, you know, territory. You'd go to him to run it, but as far as running Raw goes, it wouldn't work.
No, and you worry, you know, Dusty Rhodes, when he was Booker in WCW, you kind of worry. I mean, he can't wrestle, but you kind of wonder what would happen there. But it'd have to be somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah. I like Dusty's run. He's a good one.
Right. No, I mean, it was fine, except the Dusty finish in every other match.
Right.
But everything else was fine. It's just, you know... But
Memphis,
he can't wrestle now, so.
Memphis is known for keeping things very simple, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, straightforward stuff, and I think Raw would do well to go to that.
Right. No, I think you do away with this weekly guest host GM shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that ultimately makes everybody look like a big geek, you know?
Yeah.
The wrestlers seem less than important when they should be more important than the guest host, you know. But it seems like the wrestlers are kissing the guest host ass, and it's just ugh.
Yeah.
I almost go back to not necessarily, you know, like a Jack Tunney type, where he's in charge of the whole thing, not Vince,
yeah.
Even a figurehead, just
yeah.
Who's in charge of every show. On air, somebody who could do, you know, that kind of thing. No heel GM, no baby face, just a guy like who had to say the unpopular things, or, you know.
Right.
Just something, you know. Tunney was perfect for that because he was so wooden, you couldn't ever tell any emotion out of him one way or another. But,
Right. But
the heel thing still played out, and baby face thing doesn't really work.
No. Just need some guy, you know?
Yeah.
He has
that's what
to
I'm
have
saying.
Respect, and that's it. You know?
Yep. You know? So, I don't. I think that would help a little bit. And I don't know. I don't understand the point of the brand split anymore. I've been always for it because it gave, you know, back a few years ago, it gave everybody a chance to, when they had brand specific pay per views, it was great because it got guys
exactly.
a chance to get up.
Exactly.
But now when everyone's a tri-branded pay-per-view, what's the point? By tri-branded, I mean mostly Raw with a couple of SmackDown and one ECW.
One ECW, yep.
What's the point? Why do you have them? Why not just...
How pointless. You can have different people appear on different shows without a
yep.
brand.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it right now.
Oh, I know. I don't understand. Either get rid of, you know, they need to get at least cut one show. I mean, Superstars doesn't really add anything to them, but like, if you know,
keep Raw and SmackDown, and use Superstars as like a highlight show.
Yep, I agree.
I like the idea of having a highlight show. So,
well, even like I always thought the idea of like a Sports Center type for the week in WWE.
Nice.
To get you caught up, to show highlights of everything, to, you know, keep you, I don't know how silly it is, but, like, keep you in, understanding what WWE is doing, even, like, who's the number one contender, you know, what this match meant, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Analysis, I mean, and you can still show highlights, show the matches of the week or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, because really what... Having one match from each
awesome.
Brand means nothing.
That's really awesome.
So
that's what Superstar should be.
Yeah. I just think, you know, and you can even call it WWE superstars and just, you know, talk about the superstars.
Yep.
That's because really nobody cares if Chavo or Tyler Rex or, you know, if JTG has a match, you know. Well, even if you want, have one match specifically. Have it be a Superstars exclusive or whatever.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But really, like a recap for the week. Or even, like, a hype. And maybe even a week of the pay-per-view, have it be like an hour-long hype special. Like the USD do the, you know, 24/7. Have it get hype. Have a whole show just hyping the upcoming pay-per-view.
Highlight footage of the feuds, interviews, all that
mm-hmm.
shit. Yep.
Yeah, specific for that. It's simple, and it wouldn't cost them that much money or take more time. I think they need to learn more from UFC than anything right now. So I'm not saying change the style of wrestling or whatever, but how they're handled, they learn so much from... Huh?
Move! Move! Okay, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't. I don't think they need to, you know, totally change everything. Just learn a few basic things. Slow down. Make keep it simple.
Fine.
That's what I'm saying about superstars.
Cut the fat.
Yes.
That's
there's so much fat on there.
That's...
There's pay-per-view every 3 weeks. Fuck. Okay, I understand not wanting to do five again, you know, like the 90s.
Right.
But
I think,
does there need to be 14?
No, absolutely not.
Maybe even 9, you know?
Pick a number between 6 and 12. I
yep.
think you got it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. There does not need to be 2 in October for no reason at all.
No.
I mean, it would make even more sense, again, had they had brand-specific pay-per-views, because you're not seeing the same shit 3 weeks later.
Right.
But...
Yep. Having less pay-per-views means that the matches won't be as stale.
Right.
You won't run through them so quickly.
Well, and that's... Yeah, exactly. And you're not like, oh, God, how many times... Well, how many feuds have like, started and then abruptly stopped this year that it just, like... Like,
yeah.
Matt and Jeff, like, very quickly burned through that.
Mm-hmm.
JBL and Shawn Michaels burned through that. Just one stupid thing. I can't even think of half of them right now.
Why can't they, like, introduce a feud while they're feuding with somebody else, you know?
Right.
Like,
well, that's what they used to do.
Jeff, but I still got to take care of Shelton Benjamin here or something. You know,
yep.
Whatever.
No, agreed. I don't understand. They used to, you know, hell, they built up Savage Warrior during the middle of Warrior Slaughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the second he was done, he had a logical feud, move on, you know?
Perfect.
It's not that hard. Wrestling is so simple, and I just don't, they made it way too complicated and convoluted.
Wrestling is absolutely simple. It's soap opera for hillbillies.
Yep. And keep it simple for the hillbillies.
Yeah.
You know, we're hardcore.
I should cut us short here.
Yep. Agreed.
We have gone on for over an hour now, and no one wants to hear us for more than an hour. So.
Nope. Agreed. We were a little rambler. I was rambly.
No,
so.
That's okay. That's okay. We had some stuff to talk about, and we should
yep.
talk about it.
Yes, we did. Well, thank you, sir.
Okay, and I will be seeing you again very soon when we talk about SummerSlam. So
yeah, possibly even tomorrow.
Okay. All right, well, for Jordan Smith, I am Dusty Giebink. This has been another edition of the Stunt Grinding Experience, and we'll try to do better next time.